On this episode of Post Game Shake, we welcome on former Calgary Flames draft pick and now South Carolina Stingrays assistant captain, Tim Harrison, and finish up with some hot topics in the NFL.
Welcome back to Post Game Shake, episode Tim Searles, a.k.a. episode 15. Muzzy, how are we, man?
Wow, I kind of feel like I dropped the ball on episode one now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we weren't going to go like episode one, Jamie Murray. But yeah. I mean, I guess we could. If you want to go back and do it, we can.
Yeah, should we just restart our entire podcast and go from the beginning?
That means we can get you again, and then we can get then 15 from there. We can do another one of me. So it's perfect.
Love it. I love the exposure.
We'll just keep restarting one, you know, episode 1.2, episode 1.3. It'll be great.
You know what's funny, though? On episode two, we had Vols on.
Oh, that's true.
So we were onto something there. We just didn't realize it.
We were. It's hard enough for us to find guests because, you know, we're, you know, yeah, whatever. But we're not going to be able to find guests with the exact number of the episode we're on. But
yeah, true, because we also went six episodes without a guest.
Yeah. Hey, maybe one day.
But we are cruising right now. So we have, if you're here for the Tim Harrison interview, it's coming up in just a couple minutes here. And it's a good one. The kid is a stud hockey player and had some pretty funny stories. So you guys are definitely going to enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. One of the favorites so far of mine, just because he's a great guy, but also some funny stories. So,
yeah, it was a weird weekend for us. Before we get into it, it was just, you know, no football and kind of a different transition period here. I didn't really do much yesterday, Timmy. I know that you went to the Bruins game.
I did. Yeah, I should have known that it was going to be a pretty, I wouldn't say it's an uneventful game, 2-1 overtime winner for the Bruins, but both teams playing back end of back to backs. The Avalanche coming from you know playing on Long Island to playing, I guess not on Long Island, playing in against the Islanders in New York, and then going to play up in Boston. I mean, a 2-1 game. If you would have told me that before the game, would have been like, yeah, that's classic. So still a good time. We ended up sneaking down at in the third period and sat maybe like 10 rows up from behind the net. So it was pretty good.
Have we talked about you being an Avs fan on the pod? In the origin?
I want to say we have, just because I feel like I've told so many people of why I'm a fan of each team. So if we haven't talked about it, I'm an Avalanche fan, because when I started liking hockey, my parents didn't know what they were doing and didn't know, you know, who I should root for. So I picked the best team in the league, and that was, you know, 98, whatever. And the Avalanche were just stacked with Sakic, Forsberg, Patrick Wall, all the names. And so they got me an Avalanche trash can. No, you did, because you said that in one of the interviews. You're like, yeah, you're an Avalanche fan because of the trash can. I gave you props for knowing that fact.
Yeah, true. But hey, if you're a new listener, if you're here just for the Tim Harrison interview, now you know.
It's true, yeah.
Not to mention, also, 98, I believe, was the last time the Avs actually beat the Bruins in Boston.
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, they said it on the radio. I'm a big 98.5 guy these days.
Of course
you are. I'm a working man. I get in the car, I turn on 98.5. I feel like I'm, what's that commercial where it's like you turn it into your parents? I'm turning it into my dad.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. All right, you wanna throw it to the other Timmy?
Yeah, let's get this over to you guys, get right into it, and then we are gonna come back if you guys want to stick around, and we're gonna talk a little bit about some big football news today. If you're listening on the 12th on Tuesday, then it was news from yesterday. But for now, we're going to kick it over, and this is our interview with Tim Harrison. We are here with Doug and current assistant captain of the South Carolina Stingrays of the ECHL. In 2013, he was drafted number 157 by the Calgary Flames and went on to play 4 years at Colgate University before starting his professional career. It's our pleasure to welcome on Tim Harrison. How are you?
Gentlemen, it's an honor.
Good to have you. How are you doing?
It's an honor to have you.
I'm good. I'm just enjoying Charleston, South Carolina as we speak, sitting in my apartment, feet up.
That a so no boy. Complaints.
I mean,
how is it there?
Unbelievable. Yeah, compared to other places that I've been, including upstate New York, this is night and day.
So I've played in Charleston a couple times, being from Virginia, and like I didn't get to actually like explore the place, but my parents would come down, you know, pretty short drive, and we'd go out to dinner places. Like they have almost like a kind of old fashioned, like little downtown Main Street. It is awesome.
Yeah. So that Main Street that you're talking about is King Street, and it's unbelievable. The atmosphere there is crazy. It's a college town through and through.
Perfect.
But there's a lot of history that I was unaware of, so it's kind of got like an old-fashioned feel to it, but there's some cool bars, and there's just so many fun things to do, to be honest.
My first trip there, I was like, the drive-in, I was like, the city of Charleston. I was like, well, where's the city? But it's just like a very almost like rural type city.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to explain it, is it's a little bit more rural. I think one of the biggest adjustments for me coming from Massachusetts, Muzz, you'll understand this, but no one's in a rush out here, which is like the most wild thing, because people are just like out to lunch, it seems like. There's been more car accidents, more vacant cars just left on the side of the road than I've ever seen in my entire life. So that's been an adjustment. I don't really get it, but that's just, I think, coming from where we come from, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, night and day. Even Virginia. Timmy's from Virginia. And for people that haven't caught on, we have two Timmys here. Obviously, host Tim Searles.
Hey-o.
And guest Tim Harrison.
How you doing?
but Timmy's from Virginia, and, you know, me playing in Virginia last year, it was the same thing, dude. It's, like, completely different. It's even – and then being in Allen 2 years ago, like, the Southern hospitality and the whole mindset of people is just completely different.
Yeah, I mean, people are a lot more friendly, I think. A little bit less eager to jump on your back when, if, you know, something happens. But, I mean, part of me just wants to be like, all right, hurry up. Let's go. Get to the point. Let's do this, you know. But I'm enjoying it. I love it out here. So it's been a nice experience.
To like, quickly bookend this, I had never been flipped the bird in my entire life driving. Now, granted, I wasn't driving, like, for very long in Virginia. But even, like, with my parents, like, maybe – one time did I ever see them like get flipped the bird, and it took me like a couple of weeks to be driving in Boston or in Massachusetts. I guess not even like downtown Boston. People are just like looking at me like they want to murder me, and I'm like, whoa, Jesus! Like, I've almost turned into a worse.
Yeah,
drive
yeah.
up here, it sucks.
Yeah,
I kind of hate the term masshole, but honestly, it applies when you're on the road.
Oh, absolutely. There are no friends when you're on the road. Absolutely no
friends. I'm guilty. I'm as bad as it gets, honestly. I take it really personally.
Oh, I'm the same way. I take it personally. Yeah. I'll ride your ass if I need to. Oh, yeah. Let you know.
Yeah,
I'm the biggest king of, like, the passive-aggressive. Someone, like, pisses me off, and I let them pass me, and then just get right behind them and ride their ass. That's like my classic move. I don't know if that works, but I do that
a lot. No, it's a solid play. Solid play.
Yeah, yeah. How's the weather? Is it – I mean, I know, like, is it – what's the temp there?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, right now it's raining today, but yesterday we hit the Frisbee Golf Links. It was, like, 60 degrees. Dude.
Nice. What a sunny joke.
Yeah.
That's unreal. So no, we're getting snow here tomorrow, so.
Oh, God.
You're living the dream, kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move on from your life of luxury. But more importantly, we were talking today a little earlier. Timmy has a little bit of a time restriction tonight, so we had to get started nice and early. Me and Tim Searles had to get back from work on time so we could start this because – Tim Harrison, you have – what do you have to do tonight?
Okay, so basically one of my best friends from college, Jay Kulovich, he's from Marblehead, Massachusetts, plays in Bakersfield right now in the American League.
Nice.
Him and his buddies
– good league.
From high school – yeah, not a bad league, I guess. I don't know. Him and his buddies been playing this Call of Duty match where they basically get 10 guys in and we play 5-on-5, and – I somehow got inducted into this league where we set up games where we're putting like $20 on a Call of Duty game.
What?
Basically, we toss down $20. You know, you go head to head against a guy, $20, and you know, winner takes all. So it gets pretty intense. But I got a nice big clans match, a lot riding on this one. We lost last night, so going back for revenge.
Oh, what? You played last night too? Is this like a daily thing for you guys?
No, this is a very rare occurrence that we do two nights in a row. It just happened that last night was a little intense, so there was some tempers flaring where I think everyone wanted to was, you know, chomping at the bit to get back on.
Wow.
That's like actually incredible. No one can honestly see my face right now, but while you were explaining it, my mouth was open the entire time. Like, I'm so jealous.
Dude,
I sound like an absolute squid when I say it, but at yeah. the same time, I think like everyone did that when they were growing up. You played Call of Duty with your buddies or like Halo.
I was a Halo guy. Yep.
The fact that I'm, you know, 25 sitting on my couch with a headset on is laughable, but you know, if $20 is $20.
Yep. When you texted me, you were like, he was like, hey, can we start at like 5:30? I was like, why? Well, first of all, I worked till like 5:30. And I was like, all right, like, what's up? And he's like, you're going to beak me. And I was like, all right, tell me. He's like, well, I got a Call of Duty Clans match tonight. I was like, you got to be kidding me. No way.
Well, hey, boys, we're not all corporate sellouts.
I know, dude. I'm such a sellout these days, man. I know.
I'm just kidding.
And yeah. I read, because we like have like a little Google Doc going, like of what we should ask you and stuff. And you said it over the text message, like, yeah, I have something I need to bring up. And he probably is gonna mention it. Is that what this was about?
No, that's not what this is about. I'm going to let it ride out and see if Muzz brings it up, because I think it's going to be a topic of discussion.
All right, cool. Well, so back to this, though. Like,
if it's not – sorry, Timmy. And then if it's not a topic of discussion, you've got to bring it up yourself, though.
Oh, it's going to – yeah, it's embarrassing, but nonetheless, I'll bring it up.
Okay, awesome. Good.
Perfect. So this is random, but a roommate of mine, like one of my best friends from school, didn't play hockey with me. We were talking, and he's a huge gamer, like the best chill player I know. Like, anyway, long story short, he came with this idea, like with all of us kind of in the same room, of like being able to like bet on video games, like making it essentially a sports book where like you can, so say you're playing Call of Duty, I don't even know how it refer, like for NHL is the easiest way to explain it. Like, you match up with somebody who is the same like skill as you, like pretty close, and you, if you want to bet $20, the other person agrees to bet $20, and then like whoever wins the game gets $20, and like creating the platform to bet on that, and like however that worked for Call of Duty. And that just reminded me of like how much more fun gaming would be, and how much more frustrating it would be at the same time if like you had money riding on the line. So I'm just jealous, like, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh no, that's an absolutely unbelievable idea, and you're right. Like, I mean, obviously we're competitive at nature, but you know, you toss, even if you toss $5 on a pickup basketball game, you're going to go for it. And it makes things more competitive, especially if you're playing with your good buddies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely, I mean, dude. And I'd be throwing money on Fortnite like every night. I'd be broke right now. So,
oh yeah, I'd be broke too, but hey, yeah. I'd be having fun while I did it.
Yeah. Me and you are quite the duo. Buzz on the sticks.
Are you guys actually?
No, we suck. We're both like mediocre. No offense. I don't know if you take offense to that.
I'm a muck and grind type of player. I'll get in the trenches. I'll take a hit so the more skill guys can kind of it's kind of like how my hockey game is. I'll go in the corner so the skill guy can get the goal.
Yeah, I call myself the revive guy. I'm like, if somebody's down, I'm coming to get you.
Oh, I'm such a medic. I'll just carry all the potions. I'll carry all the med kits. Yeah. Don't even get me done.
Yeah, he's running around with the med kit out. He doesn't even have a gun out. He's just like running, coming to save the day.
I'm even worse. Like, when I play with Muzz and his friends, like, I'm way worse than Muzz. I can't even consider myself a mediocre player.
You don't play.
But I'm like, if I pick up like a video game, I can like get pretty good at it. I used to play. Yeah. I've since, you know, basically sold out myself for video games, which, you know, is another story. But anyway, I'm like, I'm way worse. Where I'll be like, oh, I'll hold a med kit, and I'll also hold a potion. Like, oh, thanks. Here, load up them. I'm like, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna die pretty soon, so don't worry about it. But
yeah, I know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Jesus, that's hilarious. And also, I thought when he wrote Clans down, I thought you were playing Clash of Clans, and then it says Call of Duty Clans. So just making sure that wasn't it, but.
Yeah, I don't even know what the difference is. What's Clash of Clans?
That's on a different level of nerdiness, but
yeah. So I'm happy it's Call of Duty, not Clash of Clans, I guess is what I'm saying.
Good. I'm happy I don't disappoint there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Did you want to say something, or are we going to move into kind of the backstory stuff?
No, I don't have anything. Go. All right,
cool.
Go for
let's
it.
So let's get started on your hockey career. Give the people what they want. from the top. So give it to us, like. If you want to start with high school hockey, or ideally high school hockey, but if even before, or wherever you think makes the most sense. But tell us about playing at Dexter, and I don't know where you were before Dexter.
Yeah, why you went to Dexter, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick away from like the cliche, you know, the answers and stuff, but sometimes it's hard not to.
Yeah.
I was at Duxbury High School to begin my high school hockey career, and, you know, I was one of the better players, but by no means was I putting up huge numbers in public high school hockey. I was more just kind of a work ethic, get the puck and, you know, wheel and deal if I could. And then, you know, somehow got some interest from some prep schools. Was actually after my junior year after my sophomore year at Duxbury High School, I was actually recruited and applied and signed up, ready to go to Thayer after my sophomore year.
I had
classes lined up, everything, and that was Tony Amonte was the coach, still is the coach there now currently. And it just got to, you know, I think it was August, and I looked at my dad and I was like, I don't think I'm ready. And when I say that, I think I was ready hockey wise. I just don't think I was ready to leave my hometown, leave my buddies. You know, growing up playing with your buddies is probably one of the most special things you can do. And I just wasn't ready to leave that yet. So after my junior year at Duxbury, we ended up making it to the, I think like the self sectionals, lost to Springfield Cathedral at Gallo, like 6-1, got absolutely mopped. And but by then I think I had, I think matured a little bit and just was ready to go off on my own. And that was a decision that I'll never regret. Probably one of the best decisions I ever made to go to Dexter. Dan Donato ended up recruiting me there, and I was fortunate enough to go there and make a pretty big impact. So I repeated my junior year and did my junior and senior year at Dexter, and then went on to Colgate from there.
Dexter, the school of extraordinary gentlemen, right?
Oh, yeah. And their motto is best today, better tomorrow. So that, I mean, that was one of those things where, like, I was waking up at, like, I think 8:15, you know, to get to school at Duxbury for 8:30 wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Where now it switched over to I'm waking up at 5:30 fighting the Boston rush hour into, you know, work traffic to make it there by 7 with a suit and a tie on. So that was one of the biggest, I guess, switches up for me, where it was just kind of a whirlwind.
A little bit of a culture shock. I think I probably could have used a little bit of that in high school, because I don't think I wore a pair of jeans to high school once in my 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I ended up loving the switch just because I think it gave me more of a purpose, where I felt like I was accomplishing something and doing something each day, where at public high school, you can kind of ride the pine and just do whatever you got to do to get by. Whereas Dexter, I kind of had to elevate things, which really helped.
Do you think it, the academics helped you not just get into Colgate and kind of help that process, but did it also like really prepare you like mentally for college classes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is like a very cliche thing to say, but they expect a lot more out of you at these prep schools. And I knew that coming in, and I think that's part of the reason why I wasn't ready for there. And when I made that transition over to Dexter, it just helped me so much, where I was ready and knew that things were expected of me, especially as coming in being, I was 18-year-old junior, and there are guys there who are freshmen coming at 16, 15 years old. And I kind of was already put into that role of being the guy that had to set the example, but I hadn't even met them yet. You know what I mean? So doing that and then being prepared for classes too. I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb in the bunch, but I mean, I don't consider myself a slump in the classroom, but those things that they expected of me to do, I just really wanted to bear down and make it worth their while for having me there. And then also set myself up for getting into a good school. Like you mentioned there, Timmy, I was very fortunate enough to get into Colgate, and I can honestly say that I would not have gotten into Colgate if it weren't for Dexter. A little side note there is Dexter is also, there's Dexter Southfield too. I know I'm rambling here, boys. I'll
close. Keep going.
We love it.
The Dexter Southfield, basically it's a girls' school in the same building, but a lot of the classes are separated. So, and I think in my 2 years at Dexter, I did two classes with girls, and the valedictorian of the Southfield school, so the girls' school, applied to Colgate at the same time I was applying to Colgate. She didn't get in.
No way.
He was this tall, goofy kid coming out of public school, just, you know, being a clown in the classroom. And this girl's working her ass off to get into Colgate, didn't get in. I felt terrible. But at the same time, I was like, hey, I'm working the system. I'll do whatever I can to you know, get to that next level. So
that's life, though, dude. That's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, use hockey. And obviously, you know, you worked hard, too. It's not just hockey. But you get to use hockey to get to a great school. And nothing against her. I'm sure she's a great student. And, you know, I'm sure she had a lot going for her, but, like, that's the way it goes. You know?
Where'd she
take advantage of it.
Where'd she end up going to college, you know?
That's a good question. Harvard? I think she ended up at, like, Fordham or something, a very reputable school. So,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, I was happy to hear that. But at the same time, I felt bad when it first happened, because very small school. I graduated with 40 kids. So everyone knew about it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Everyone knew that this donkey on the hockey team got got into Colgate, and the valedictorian of Southfield didn't make it in. So
doesn't that kind of discredit her, though?
What's that?
Doesn't that kind of like, sorry to cut you off, but doesn't it kind of like, you know, you're the valedictorian, which is great. I'm not trying to, but like, of 40 people.
No, but I mean, the girls' school was even smaller, right? Like they had, I think they graduated with like 10 girls. So, but at the same time, I think.
So she was the best of 10?
Yeah, but I also, yeah, I mean, hey, the best of 10 is better than the best of nothing. So, I guess like Southfield just didn't have the reputation yet. I'm not sure. I don't know what happened there, but I mean, I'm a bigger academic weapon than she is, apparently. Hey, call us spade clearly. Spade, boys.
Yeah.
They just saw the future in you, and they're like, we need this kid in our university for 4 years. He's going to bring more value than she is in all aspects of the college campus feel.
Right. And I think that's another thing that's why Dexter helped me too. Like they helped me round myself out, if that makes any sense. Like not just as a hockey player, but just as a human being, and being able to bring more to the table where I can be a positive impact at anywhere. So that, I think that's probably one of the most memorable things that I can say about Dexter, is they just helped me in a full overall, like rounding me out as a person.
Definitely.
Yeah. How was the hockey there? Like, how does it, obviously it's definitely better than Duxbury.
It was a lot more competitive. I think, I mean, definitely just like anywhere you go, there's that age gap, right? Like where, you know, as a junior, an 18-year-old junior, obviously I'm going to be a little bit more physically apt than someone who's 15 years old and probably hasn't even, you know, hit puberty yet. But so I was able to, you know, utilize my body and my frame in that. But, man, it was unbelievable. I was very fortunate because I got to play with Trevor Fiddler, who's at West Point now.
Mm-hmm.
Originally committed to Harvard, unfortunately didn't work out clearinghouse-wise, I think. But and then Ryan Donato, which is, I mean, that speaks for itself. That guy's gross. Playing for, you know, the Bruins and the Providence Bruins. So, I mean, I was set up for success, which was huge for me.
Yeah, Donato's a good Scituate boy, so we're proud of him.
So like, then that. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to know, like, what was it like playing with Ryan?
You know, it's funny. Like, people ask me that sometimes, just because, you know, he's a big name and comes from a great family of hockey and good people, but. I mean, on the record, obviously, but like Ryan, he was funny because he was a sophomore. I was a senior. He was at, when we played together a little bit as a junior, when I was a junior and he was a freshman, but he really came onto me and Trevor's line when we were both seniors. And I'd be like, the kid is so talented, where he'd get the puck and skate by people. Mm. And, you know, obviously we're all used to that too. Me and Trevor are used to trying to do that as well. So like, I mean, I just give him the puck and let him go. You know what I mean? And then sometimes I'd be backdoor and he'd just put it top shelf and I'd be like, hey, Ryan, great shot, but I was backdoor, man. You know what I mean? But he just had that talent and he knew he was that good and we all knew it too. He was just something special. So, and then along with, same thing with Trevor too. Trevor is just an absolute dynamite prep school hockey player and still is a good college hockey player. But Ryan, you could really tell, had that like, unbelievable hockey skill and unbelievable hockey sense that we just let him do his thing.
Yeah, we played against him in the summer a lot. I mean, I've skated with him in the summer a lot, but we played against him in that the Hingham Elite League, and he was on Garland's team. When you put those two together, it's like pretty unfair, but those guys beat us like 6-5 maybe one of the last games of the year. I think this was two summers ago, and Ryan had 5 goals, and I think he might have had 5 shots. It was just like, the kid can do whatever he wants when he gets the puck. And I was just honestly embarrassed. I was like, this kid's just better than me.
Yeah. I mean, he has an elite shot. I mean,
oh,
you literally,
I didn't have a chance.
Anywhere in the offensive zone, and he's a scoring threat. So
yeah,
I'm not surprised at all. And then add Muzz in the net. It's pretty easy.
Ouch. I mean, that segues pretty perfectly into you getting drafted, 2013 draft. That was right like after your senior year at Dexter, correct?
Yeah, that was right after my senior year. And when I was a senior at Dexter, I was getting a couple nibbles, and it was an interesting little experience because I was still trying to figure out what I was doing for college. During my senior year, December of my senior year, I ended up committing, and then not only a couple months after, I was talking to a couple NHL teams. So that was like, I didn't know where I stood in terms of the NHL. I knew I was apparently good enough to get a D1 offer, but I didn't know where I was going to be able to take that. And then I ended up sitting down with the Blue Jackets, talked to the Blackhawks a little bit, and then had an extremely great conversation with one of the Calgary Flames scouts. And so I knew there was an idea. I was never on any of the central scouting lists or anything like that. I kind of went under the radar. And then the June after I graduated from Dexter, I was fortunate enough to be drafted, and it was probably one of the coolest days of my life. I'll never forget it.
I can't even imagine. I mean, what did you do for it? Anything? throw a big party?
This is also a little funny story. So there's a lot of guys that I grew up with playing that – kind of were on the list and were looking to get drafted and things like that. So I figured I'd turn on the TV, watch it. So I was actually just sitting in my living room on my couch with my family, eating a bowl of ice cream. Classic.
And, that's awesome.
Round six comes around and I just see my name pop up on the ticker. And I looked over at my dad and I was like, Dad, I was trying to be calm. You know what I mean? You know, I was trying to
you be can't like, be. There's no way you can be calm, cool, and
but
collected
at this, but at the
happens.
Same time, I didn't want it to be some other T. Harrison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Tom Harrison.
I look over my dad. I go, Dad, there's just no chance that's me, right? And he's like, I don't know. And then, like clockwork, within 30 seconds, I'm getting a call from the Flames GM, Jay Feaster, and he's basically welcoming me to Calgary. And that was just – I couldn't even wrap my head around it at the time. But it was just a whirlwind of a day and one of the coolest experiences ever.
That's so awesome.
Go ahead, Timmy. Sorry.
Well, Goba, I mean, we want to talk about the whole process, but just because it's something that me and Muzz didn't go through. It's something that not a lot of kids, even a lot of successful hockey players go through. Just, I mean, like talk about like getting nibbles, like your senior in high school, like you're 19 years old, you're getting like NHL teams talking to you and calling you, I'm assuming just kind of like, I don't have a specific question, but just like, what's that whole process like? And like, what were some of the phone calls and meetings you end up having? Like, what were those like?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Especially as a 19-year-old, I really wanted to, not that I was like putting on any sort of face or I was totally myself, but at the same time, you're getting these calls and text messages from these people where you're trying to put your best foot forward and basically show them that you're like, basically, hey, bet on me here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Put your chips in front of me and let me handle it. So that was one of those more interesting things where I was trying to be, you know, just show them I'm a good person. I can be a good hockey player if you set me up and those things will fall into place, hopefully. And fortunately, I think one of the things that really helped me get drafted by the Flames was that conversation I had. It was actually in Foxborough during the Chowder Cup. And I sat down with one of the scouts for about an hour. And after the conversation, he basically looked me in the eye. He said, that was one of the best like draftee conversations I've ever had. So
damn,
I was extremely proud of that, but I was like, okay, well, I mean, he doesn't owe me anything. And then it turns out that scout, they're sitting at the draft table. I think it was in New Jersey. And they said that's his pick. You get that pick. You make the pick, whichever you see fit. And he was bold enough to call my name, which was, pretty special. Sitting in the coast right now, so I don't know how much it worked out for him. But one of the cooler things that I've been a part of, and Timmy, like you said, like you don't have a question, but I know what you mean in terms of just kind of setting the tone of trying to open my life up to them and let them know who I am as a person and then who I am as a hockey player as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty wild, dude. I think like what we were kind of getting at is there are so many good hockey players and you got that opportunity. And it's just something we wanted to really cover with some of the other guys. Like we had Runes on last week and we didn't really talk about it with them, but Runes wasn't drafted, right?
No, Runes wasn't drafted.
Yeah, but we had Garland on. We wanted to talk about it with Garland. We didn't get a chance, but like hearing that's crazy. I mean, what were the odds for you going into that day that you thought you were going to get picked?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think they were pretty slim. I was an off the board pick for sure.
Yeah.
So, that put a lot of, it put a lot of pressure on me, I think, cause I just felt like I needed to prove myself in order to make that scout seem like a genius. But at the same time, I was like extremely humbled and just so ready to like work my ass off, do whatever I needed to do, scratch and claw in order to, you know, fulfill that dream and do those things. So it was surreal. Honestly, it was surreal. It was one of the coolest parts of my hockey career for sure. Like, I don't know how else to explain it.
I mean, that was my next question too, because I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like Muzz and me mentioned, there are a ton of really good hockey players that never get drafted. And there are a lot of really good hockey players that get drafted and like, just for whatever reason, injuries, the fit isn't right. Or, I mean, there's just a ton of good hockey players. It like never ends with players coming up and getting better. Right. So like, and you mentioned putting the pressure on yourself, like put that into perspective, you know, heading to Colgate as a freshman and then just even through your entire college career. I mean, was it always kind of in the back of your mind, like, you know, I need to kind of do this and score more and do this because they put their, you know, their faith and their, I guess, investment in you?
Absolutely. I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. I went to Colgate where, I mean, we're not cloning NHLers at Colgate. We're not producing millions of NHLers at Colgate. We have, you know, Chris Wagner right now, who's playing for the Bruins and actually playing unbelievable. He's probably one of the bigger names out of Colgate. But yeah, I went in as a freshman, as a 19-year-old, and Timmy, I mean, absolutely in the back of my head always, that I just needed to do these things and make sure that I didn't really like kind of let them down. And you know, whether or not that was a detriment to me or it was a benefit, I mean, that's still up for debate. But I think that coming in and being the only draft pick on the team, that felt a little odd to me, because there was older kids there that I wanted to make sure, like, let them know that I was at Colgate to be a good teammate and be a good, you know, be a good room guy, rather than just coming in and just putting in my time so I can make the NHL. You know what I mean?
Which, definitely.
I think that is a big part of coming into a team, especially as a freshman or coming in as a rookie or something like that, is proving to the guys that you're going to be a good fit, and not only for the team, but just for the culture that they're trying to develop there.
Did you ever have like a conversation or have to like make it known that, hey, like, I'm here, you know? And you said it perfectly, when you come in as a freshman, all you want to do is fit in. Like, last thing you want to do is be like an outcast or feel like an outcast. It just makes the whole entire process worse. And it almost, in your head, whether it's real or not, makes it feel like you're holding the team back for a reason. Did you ever have to have like a conversation and be like, hey, you know, I'm here, or even with a coach where you were like, hey, I'm here to be a Colgate hockey player?
Yeah, I mean, we had our intro meetings and we went through and talked to the coaches and the assistant coaches and all that. And I think they knew who they were getting in terms of, I mean, that also stems back to Colgate, right? Like, where Danny Donato was in my corner 100% and basically saying that this guy's, you know, going to be a good team guy and going to be a locker room guy, but also going to work really hard and benefit you guys on the ice. So when I got to Colgate, I just tried to be myself in terms of, you know, sticking up for my teammates and just being the guy that they can rely on and not just being the guy that's trying to score highlight reel goals. And I mean, I didn't even score a goal my freshman year, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it stinks, but that was one of the most successful years we had in my freshman, sophomore year when I was playing on the third line. So,
but that's cool. You're playing your role and you're doing your job. Like, you're contributing. So I'm
exactly.
Like, you had five assists. It's not like you weren't a ghost out there. You were doing stuff.
No, I mean, and that was one of the biggest things for me too, because like you mentioned earlier, Timmy, it's in the back of my head, right? Like, it's kind of one of those imbalances where you're trying to find a happy medium between doing what's best for the team, but also trying to further my career so I can make the NHL.
Yeah, it's a weird medium for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't really think about it that much when, like, for us, for me and Timmy at Babson, it's funny. I've never had that perspective really like pointed out, because for us, it's like none of us are battling for an NHL spot. We're here. This is like, for most guys, it's like our final destination. So guys that are buying in, they're blocking shots, they're playing on the third line, fourth line. And yeah, everybody wants to play first line center, but like, you know, at the end of the day, this is kind of what we're playing for. But then you get a bunch of guys like, you know, you're drafted and you got other guys that are drafted and guys that have the NHL in their mind. And it's like, you know, there's more to the game than just this game. It's like, you know, what's in the future for you. So it's definitely kind of an internal battle.
Oh, and, absolutely. Yeah.
And yeah. Not easy to deal with.
And another thing too, is like, it's such an unspoken about thing, but like when you come in, like I mentioned beforehand, when you come in as a rookie or a freshman, I mean, you want to be, like you said, Timmy, too, you want to be liked, right? You want to be, you don't want to be the guy who's going to be bringing, you know, pulling on the other end of the rope that everyone else is pulling. So, I mean, especially as a rookie, like when I came in last year to the ECHL, you just want to make sure that everyone knows your intentions. And because you do fall, I mean, you come into the same path with guys who you can tell right away that maybe might be out for their self-interest a little bit more than the team's. So, and then that's what's talked about, where guys are being selfish or things like that. So I just really wanted to make sure that guys knew that I was there for the right intentions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Colgate, I mean, the only thing you mentioned it, obviously, Chris Reidner coming from them because his little brother played with us at Babson and mm-hmm. just kind of being the, you know, a hometown name, but, you know, your experience there, they built a new rink and you got to experience that your senior year. I mean, that must've been pretty cool as well.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, I never regret going to Colgate whatsoever. I met some of my best friends there. The schooling itself was kind of demanding, which it wasn't really a wake up call because I knew it was coming, but I probably cut a few corners where I probably shouldn't have, which I do have a pretty funny story that I can share if you guys would like.
Yes, please.
Would love to.
So this is. I my sophomore year, I don't know what I was thinking, but I joined this politics class that right away I knew I should not have been in. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like I don't know, Babson's pretty small too. I was in a class with about 30 kids. So I come in the first day of class, 9:20 class, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I come in the first day, sit front row. Like, you know what? I'm going to be the guy sitting front row, hockey player, going to make sure that this guy knows I want to do well in the class. So I end up showing up late, like a bunch of times, and I'm sitting front row. So this guy knows my seat's empty when I'm showing up.
Yeah, true.
So I'm a donkey. So it turns out, whatever. Long story short, I'm at the bar one night, Saturday night, pretty, you know, I got a couple drinks in me. So I'm pretty donkey. And this girl comes up to me, starts talking to me, basically asking me what kind of classes I'm in. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm taking this politics class that I certainly should not be in. And she's like, oh, okay, who's your teacher? Or who's your professor? I go, well, you know, so-and-so. She says, what do you think about him? I said, yeah, I said some not so nice things about him.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that ends. I show up for class on Monday, 10 minutes late per usual, pretty standard. I walk in the class. Everyone's laughing at me when I walk in the class. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm standing, I swear to God, I can't even make this up. I'm standing at the front of the class and he pauses me and says, Hey, Timmy, I know you're late, but, I heard you met my daughter.
Oh God. Jesus Christ.
I still got, you know, eye boogers. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I heard you met my daughter at the bar on Saturday night. I said, no, I'm only 20 years old, can't get into bars. Like, just flipping burgers, like can't, like just trying to make something up to get out of this. Yeah. And he's like, he goes, I heard you were hitting on her. I go, oh man, everyone starts dying laughing. I go, nope, I think it was the other way around.
Oh!
End up failing the class.
No way.
Oh my God, no way.
Got an F on the transcript.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Worth the story, though.
Yep. So that was it, boys. That was basically when I realized I got to shut my mouth and start doing something.
What year was that? Was that your freshman year?
Sophomore year. My sophomore year. I ended up taking an online course in the summer, so it was no harm, no foul. But it was a doozy for sure.
Did you? Did everyone? Was everyone laughing just because, like, you met her, or did like she tell him? And then he told everybody like the nice and not so nice things you said about him.
Right. So I don't know if she was on my side and just was kind of playing, being like, hey, like mention that you saw Tim at the bar, mention that I saw Timmy at the bar. Or she was like, hey, Dad, this guy was saying this and this about you. So
she probably threw you under the bus.
Yeah,
man.
She definitely
threw with me.
Yeah. If somebody said that like about my dad, I'd be like, all right, screw you.
Yeah, I don't blame her at all. I kind of respect it.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Good for her.
That's a brutal move, though. My God. Oh, what do you think about this guy? Why? Now every single time, be like, why? Is that your dad? No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, make her sign a contract before I tell her anything.
Jesus. Yeah, that sucks. That's a good story, though. An F. Oh.
Yeah. So not to completely change it, but I'm looking at your rink right now. Dude, it's sick. Oh, this is perfect. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, so basically my
season, no, dude, that was unbelievable. Yeah. If you got any more stories like that, let us know.
we ended up getting a new rank my senior year, but my freshman, sophomore, junior, we played star rank. This place was probably built in the 1500s. there was cement behind the board, so there was no give behind on the board. So if you made a hit, your shoulders cracking into a bajillion pieces.
Oh, but, no way.
Yeah, so then my senior year, we ended up getting a new rank. We were the first team to play in it, which was unbelievable. It didn't feel like home just yet. I mean, you guys know, when you play in your home rank for that many years, it's your rank. So it was just kind of, you felt like you were in a new environment and didn't really get used to it yet. So it didn't have that, barn feel to it. But it was so cool. It made it feel like a little bit more big time than it was before. So that was unbelievable.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. I don't know if you've seen the Norwich Arena, but it's basically like Norwich 2.0.
Yeah, I think our rink kind of mimics Norwich's a little bit. It looks pretty similar to it.
Except yours
small in stature, but it looks big and you know, stands out a little bit.
Yeah, this is perfect. Will you guys pack that place, or is it, how's the following for you guys?
See, that was another thing too that bothered us a little bit, just because, you know, we'd have your classic Friday, Saturday games, but the kids who didn't play sports and who we expected to be going to our games would rather go to parties and stuff like that. So it ended up, we would end up kind of just trying to barter with them, being like, hey, we'll buy you guys a keg so you guys can drink before our game, come to our game, and then we'll party with you guys after. So it kind of, we almost had to coerce them into the games. But I mean, we would get, you know, Cornell, when we play Cornell, we'd get a good following, but other than that, I mean, there was probably, 1,000 people there. And I don't know, probably a little bit more than that. But other than that, it was never really packed.
Yeah, no, that's why you put that size rink in, though. I mean, obviously, 1,000 people in there is not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the noise level, though. There was never really any, home ice advantage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which would be a nice thing to experience every now and then.
I mean, dude, play a game at Babson in college and tell me about home ice advantage and noise. we didn't get much of a fall. I know you would. I know you would.
It's weird though, because like Muzz mentioned, it's a perfect size. Even when you had it there, it didn't look like it was extremely out of place for no one to be there. The worst thing is when a stadium is just not full at all. But I mean, I'm looking at your old rink too. Your old rink is kind of a barn. I kind of love it. I'm not saying I'd rather have that than your new rink, but it's kind of sick too.
That's what I mean. It had that old fashioned feel to it. It was a real barny feel, which is unbelievable. And fun fact there, I guess a couple of the scenes from Slapshot were filmed in that rink too. So that kind of shows you how old it is. But
yeah,
the new rink was great. Don't get me wrong. If they could pack the place, unbelievable, but they did a good job with the lights, the goal horn and things like that to make it seem like there was a lot more going on. But you know, we didn't have the greatest following, which was, you know, somewhat upsetting, but you got to deal with those things.
Yeah, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. So to transition, I don't know if we can keep talking Colgate if you want, but how is the following in South Carolina?
It's good. I mean, it's your classic ECHL following, which is a great thing. These people are extremely, extremely into it, you know, they really like it, but you know, they've been getting on us for not being, you know, they think we should be fighting more. We got to be physical. I don't know if they just want to see us go out there and bash heads and just be see violence. I mean, we've had a pretty good year so far. We're second place in our division, so we're doing all right. But I mean, they've been nothing but great to me. They've been super welcoming and made me feel at home. So I have no complaints at all about it.
Yeah, I feel like the ECHL is just really, really on that line between a developmental league and an entertainment league. Oh, and absolutely. People, you know, absolutely. Some people respect that it's you guys are in the Washington Capitals organization. And some people are I just want to see two fights a period and have a reason to drink beer. And it's you have to play to both, and it's tough.
I mean, I don't blame them for wanting to drink a couple, you know, Bronsons during the game. But sometimes when they're yelling at me to fight someone, it's like, all right, I just want to play a little bit of hockey here.
And
get off my back. It's kind of weird too, because a lot of those ECHL cities, I know they've changed through the years, but a lot of the ECHL cities are like in towns that definitely love fighting. And like the way the ECHL used to be 20 years ago, like those places would pack, and now they're like, why is no one fighting anymore? And people are like, well, you know, the game's changed a little bit. So it's weird how that whole thing has kind of, you know, morphed over time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know there's leagues too that do like fight night. You know what I mean? It's that's a little bit old school, but I think that's what they come to see a little bit. I don't mean,
yeah,
you know, there's fights, there's a time and a place where you got to drop the mitts and do what you got to do. But at the same time, we're all trying to achieve an ultimate goal of, you know, possibly making it to the American League and then, you know, slim chance, but make it to the NHL. So, I mean, that's the thing that we're also trying to balance too.
Definitely. So Muzz kind of skipped ahead to South Carolina. No harm, no foul, but I want to get back to Adirondack, and I want to ask just a question that I'm hoping was one that you were going to bring up. And he played against you last night on Dineen night.
Last year. I don't think that's what Timmy was getting at, though.
Is it not?
It's not, but yeah, let's keep going because I think
we do have to talk about this, though. Yeah.
We have to. So Muzz tells me about this whole thing, and I obviously know the whole backstory and everything. He's like, dude, you're never going to believe like what happened. And he's like, yeah, like one of my buddies is like out during warmups. He's like, is this serious right now? And Muzz is just like, yeah, this is serious. Like, I can't believe this is happening. So I'll let Muzz take the story from here.
So we showed up to the rink really late. I don't know if you guys even knew that, but we probably got to the rink 20 minutes before we were supposed to get on the ice for warmups.
I think we delayed game time too.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. We hit a snowstorm. We were coming from Manchester, and we took us forever. So we show up, and we're like, all right, what time are we getting on the ice? Whatever. They have like the printed paper on the door, and at the top of the paper on the door, it says Dineen night. And I was like, no way. And so obviously, like, the backstory of that is like, ex-girlfriend's family, like, I've been up there a bunch of times and like spent the summer there pretty much, and unfortunately, so her grandfather passed away and they were honoring him that night. I didn't realize that's what it was at first. So we get out for warm-ups and I'm like, I take a look around, I'm like, what is going on? And everybody on Timmy's team is wearing a Dineen jersey. And every single jersey says Dineen. I'm like, I can't believe they have these like warm-up jerseys that say Dineen. And I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. Like, thank God I'm not playing.
It's haunting your dream.
Yeah. So we get back into the locker room, and like, they had they actually kept us in the locker room for the ceremony, which is weird. So I walked out and I watched it because I wasn't playing. So I was like, you know, he was a great guy. So I was like, more than I wanted to go out and see it. And they had a good presentation. And then when we get back onto the ice, you guys are still wearing the jerseys. I was like, how are those not just warm-up jerseys? I was like, now I have to watch you guys play the entire game with this. Like, thank God it wasn't going to be like your goal scored by Dineen on Jamie Vardy.
Dineen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I think, did you score the first goal of the game?
I don't know. I don't think I ever scored against you. I scored against Rickenback on one of them, and you were sitting on the side of the bench, and I remember skating to the
that was
bench.
The game, dude. That was the game. Okay, I wasn't playing. He was in net.
Yeah, so I ended up potting one, and I wish I knew the pre-story to that before the game.
Yeah,
because I ended up scoring, I'm going to my bench to, you know, give high fives, and
the look you gave me as you skated by.
I just see that guy's like little smirk. I'm like, oh my God, I'm giving him the biggest smirk. I wish I turned around at center ice and just pointed at the last name on the back of the
Dude, it's engraved in my brain. He like buries a typical like Tim Harrison goal in front of the net. I think it like hit your ass and went in or something. And then you come skating by in front of us, in front of the whole bench. And like the way Adirondack is set up, the goalie has to sit like in the – it's like the Zamboni door. So I'm over to the side, like almost closer to Timmy's bench. And Timmy skates by and he does like this slow head turn with this like little smirk on his face. And I burst out laughing, and I was like, I had to rein it back in. I was like, I can't be laughing when these guys score. But
I'm sure you're sitting there like, this isn't real life. Like, no. You have to be dreaming, or at that point, it's just comical. You have to laugh at it.
And like, we give each other shit. Like we work out together. Like, we have a good time. And, you know, Timmy's skating by me with a smirk on his face, wearing a Dineen jersey. Like, Like, how much can you, like, possibly rub it in my face?
I didn't even, you know, the best thing is, like, I didn't even know I was rubbing it in that much, but, like, I put you in the dirt. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Oh, God. You were holding my face down. I couldn't breathe. It was funny, though.
Swirly on that one.
I know you did.
This isn't a chirp at all, Muzz, but you told me that story. That was the best story you'd ever told me in your life. I was like, when Timmy was telling me about the whole Call of Duty thing, I was just like in shock the entire time listening to the story. I'm like, this cannot be real. Like, I'm just picturing it from everybody's perspective. And then just from your perspective, right. It's so much different.
Like, what are the odds? It was just crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Just, yeah, like you said, four times. Luckily, you weren't playing because you would have been a mental midget for those 6 minutes.
I would have been rattled. And at that point, like, it was like long gone. It was like a year gone past the relationship, and I was over it. But, like, for that night, I don't think I was over it.
You were definitely – hearing the story afterwards, you were in a pretzel.
Oh, I was like, dude, I can't believe that just happened. It was wild. She would have got a lot of satisfaction out of that, too.
Jesus. That's so funny.
I know. All right. Moving. So anything else we want to talk about from Adirondack, like, besides – I mean, what's the difference between playing there and playing in South Carolina?
One of the things that I was gonna bring up to you guys and Muzz, I'm surprised this is the one of the things that I said was gonna be at the top of your discussion list.
Oh, it's right here, buddy. I know exactly what's coming up, and you can bring it up if you'd like.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it happened in Adirondack, so I'm gonna bring it up. But
it did.
Yep. I had an absolute horrendous shootout attempt in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I mean, Muzz, I'll let you chirp me. I'll give you the green light here.
So I was scrolling through, and Searlesy, I don't know if you. Know what we're referring to yet. I feel like I showed you.
You guys should put this clip up on
Instagram. Yeah.
We are 100% on it. Okay. I'm on YouTube. I've never seen this before. I'm on YouTube right now searching it.
So I don't know if it's on YouTube. It's definitely on Instagram for sure. I have it saved to my phone, boys, so I can send that over.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
We'll
That's
need
perfect.
That. Yeah, send that over to at Postgame Shake, please. But, yeah, so I was scrolling through Instagram, and it wasn't even spitting chiclets, but I ended up seeing it like 5 times, and it, you know, it's some chirp about like worst shootout move of all time. And it's this kid taking the puck, center ice, coming in. You like come in, try to deke, lose the puck, and then try to pick it up and like fall over backwards and do like a barrel roll into the corner. And I was like, holy shit, is that Tim Harrison? And dude, I called you, and I was like, before I even said anything, you were like, dude, I know. It was perfect, man. I loved it.
Oh man, it was unbelievable. I mean, Muzz, before you called me, I had probably like 5 voicemails to listen to. I was getting text messages. So when you called me out of the blue, I mean, we exchanged text messages here and there. So, but when you gave me that phone call, I was like, yeah, I know what's coming.
Yeah, right, dude. But, you were everywhere. You were everywhere.
Hey, you know what? No such thing as bad publicity.
Exactly.
I'm all for it. Yeah.
Everybody knows Tim Harrison now. Basically a household name.
And the best thing is I haven't had a shootout attempt since. So when that happens, when that time comes, boys, I am going to be shaking in my boots.
Dude, you're going to be all right. You're going to we'll work on it this summer. I'll come out of retirement for some summer.
No, trust me. You already got my confidence up enough.
Oh, yeah, good one. Oh,
dude, I've had nightmares of like penalty shot in overtime to win a game, and like I like miss the puck and fall down. So like I can't.
Yeah. I didn't even make it to the blue line and the puck was in the corner.
Oh. This video is priceless.
I'm trying my hardest to grab that puck and somehow manage to get it to the net. I ended up grabbing it, making like doing okay. And like I had to turn around and pivot and open.
Yeah.
But I was facing facing Art like my with the puck. And then the Worcester goalie popped out and I did a little barrel roll over him. It's funny. He's, I think he's, I don't know where he's playing right now, but I played him a few times this year, the goalie. And every time during warmups, he just gives me this shit-eating grin. And he's like, Harry, how you doing? I don't even know him. Like, I played him in college a bunch, but he just knows. Like, in the back of his mind, he's like, yep, I flipped that guy, made him an online sensation in a minute.
The funny thing is, so, like, it's not as embarrassing, but it's kind of ironic because it was against South Carolina last year. I made SportsCenter I was like involved in the play because our D man got walked by one of the guys on the team. He was on an NHL contract, absolutely walked our D man. And then I was so thrown off, like came out and challenged it flat footed. The kid literally just skated around me and placed the puck in the net. And it was like number 4 on SportsCenter. And like, it didn't get nearly as much hype as yours, but I was like, all right, I kind of feel your pain now.
Yeah, no, I remember that. That was a good win for me after what happened.
Yeah, and then the other one too with you. Didn't you score in the playoffs and then you like fell? You like ate shit. You like toe picked.
Oh yeah, I was so fired up. I got a nice tip out front. I skated to the corner to celebrate, like lifted my leg up and just went completely head over heels.
It was
awesome. It was the first goal of the playoffs. I was just so fired up that I didn't even care. But and then they ended up clipping it, put it on Twitter. So that got me a little bit more buzz too. But
yeah, you scored that one though. So that was all in good.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, they don't ask Cowboys. So.
Exactly.
No, they definitely do not.
No, I know. I wish they had a picture of that one, but they don't. All right. What are we? You're at 6:57 here, buddy. Is your 7 p.m. start time still?
No, we're good. Locked boys. In. We keep it rolling here.
All right. I don't have a ton more to talk about. We're at about 55 minutes, I think. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Timmy, or either Timmy?
Yeah. Do you have anything for us? Do you have any questions or any thoughts or any other funny stories? Anything you think about since we brought you on?
No, I mean, other than I listened to Runes' podcast today to prepare for this one, and I just want to basically say that.
Oh, here we go.
I basically want to say that Muzz is the body proportions that they are having is out of control because it's such a mental thing with Muzz. Like he'll get in the weight room and he'll just come up with all these excuses about how he can't lift as much as me and Kevin, and like. It's like, dude,
your legs are twice the size of my legs.
No, I mean, it just comes down to a mental thing where he doesn't even want to try. So, I mean, me and Kev give him a lot of, a lot of the business. But, I mean, there's just no excuse when you're coming into the weight room with a Dunkin' Donuts bag full of a glazed donut. And
I forgot about that,
dude. And then next thing you know, the guy's complaining about how he can't lift. It's like, hey, man, you're only hurting yourself here.
That Dunkin' Donuts day was a tough call on my part, but I did grab a glazed donut before lift, and I regretted it the entire time.
You just got to be smart enough and eat that puppy in the car, man.
I know. And then the other body proportion type we didn't really hit on was – My arms are longer, so when I bench press, I have a longer way to go up and a longer way to go down, and then it takes a lot of force to get that back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know what I say about excuses, though, right?
Tell me.
They're like buttholes. They stink.
They all stink.
They do.
Especially Muzz's after he always complains about Dunkin' Donuts. He's like, dude, I shouldn't be eating Dunkin' Donuts. So the fact that you ate Dunkin' Donuts right before working out is criminal.
Yeah, I know. That was tough call by me. yeah, all right. What's your favorite hockey memory before we let you leave?
I would say my freshman sophomore year playing in the ECAC finals was probably my freshman year. We ended up it was my sophomore year. We ended up beating St. Lawrence in double overtime in the semifinals. Mike Borkowski came back from a torn ACL in the same season and ended up scoring the game winner in OT to send us to the ECAC finals. That was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen and been a part of. So that was unbelievable.
Torn ACL, same season, comes back, scores an OT in the playoffs.
Scores an unbelievable, like, toe drag, shot, top corner, game over, thanks, see you later.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah. Wow.
Was that Did you have a host site? I'm sorry if I missed it. Is there a host site or did you play home games there?
No, so we play in Lake Placid for the the final four teams in the ECAC play in Lake Placid. We ended up losing my freshman reunion from the likes of Shane Gossespierre, like Matt Bodie.
Oh, that team was
Daniel
sick.
Daniel Carr. So those guys were gross. They ended up winning the national championship that year.
Fair enough.
And my sophomore year, we lost to Harvard, like Jimmy Vesey, Colin Blackwell, those guys. And unfortunately didn't get a win in the finals, but some pretty cool memories there.
Yeah, I mean that's legit, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. I have a weird one for you. It's actually my favorite question that I'm surprised I haven't been asking more interviewees, but would you rather have a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of your throat for the rest of your life or have Cheetos fingers for the rest of your life? And before you answer, I mean, preface this by saying you have 10 fingers full of Cheetos, like covered in Cheetos, like dust. And if you lick it, it comes back.
My gut reaction was Cheetos fingers, but then you really put it into perspective with the 10 fingers and how much I have on there. But I think I got to stick with the Cheetos fingers because I don't know. I can get people to lick them. I don't know.
I love how everybody comes up with like a crazy reason why they should have Cheeto Slingers, and they're good. Like, don't get me wrong, but like my rebuttal is like, you can't live your life with Cheeto Slingers. And some people are like, I'll just wear gloves the rest of my life. I'm like, that's weird. You can't just wear gloves everywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're just the glove guy. You're not
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
The glove guy. Yeah, well, they'll be clear gloves. I'm like, that's even weirder. Then everyone can see the Cheeto Slingers, but you still have gloves on. So it's, but I respect the answer because you can get people to lick them. Fair enough.
I love that question, though.
I know, Timmy. Yeah, that's your go-to.
It is my go-to.
Is that an original, or did you find that somewhere?
I honestly don't remember where I found it, so I'm just gonna say it's original. But it's like my favorite.
The trademark's worn off.
It's but it's my favorite. Like, even question. Like, a lot of people are on the fence about it, and I get equal answers: Cheetos Fingers or Popcorn Kernel. So it's like I haven't found a better one yet. So it's still my go-to. So
nice. I think I'm a Popcorn Kernel guy. For sure.
Yeah, I also am a Popcorn Kernel guy as well. So
I think that's insane, boys.
I got an image to uphold, you know. You don't really have much along that line, so it couldn't get much worse. But for me,
plus the there's under gloves, and if you get hungry during a game, you just, you know,
yeah, a little protein.
Yeah,
a little protein. Exactly. Perfect. Go.
All that protein in Cheetos. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, I think we're good to wrap it up. I don't really have anything else left here.
Yeah, me either. So, I mean, listen, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you making the time for us in between this little Call of Duty clans match. But anyway, it was great talking to you. Great, you know, getting the whole background of the NHL draft and all this kind of stuff. You know, best of luck the rest of the way. And you know, again, I appreciate you coming on and chatting with us.
Yeah, Muzz, Timmy, I really appreciate it. I think what you guys are doing is really cool. I wish all the best for you guys in the future. I also just want to – I know I listened to Ruins earlier, so I want to give him a shout-out and just say that, you know, that guy's the hardest-working guy I've probably been a part of, like, you know, been working out with and things like that. So everything that he's gotten, he's deserved. And Muzz, same with you, man. Every once in a while, you come up in the weight room and you work hard too. So
I'm an on-ice guy. I battle on the ice.
And Brownie, too. I know Brownie's been on here.
Yeah.
He ditched us, but it was good getting to know him, too. So, I mean, all the best, fellas. I really enjoyed this, and I hope that one day I'll be able to say that, you know, I was one of the guys, one of the first interviews on Post Game Shake, and you guys make it big. So,
damn right. Love that.
Good on you.
Thanks,
good
man. Yeah. Really appreciate that. It means a lot. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, boys.
All right, dude. We'll catch up soon. And, again, yeah, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, appreciate it, fellas.
All right.
Take it easy.
See you, dog.
That interview was brought to you by State and Liberty. State and Liberty found a solution to a problem that athletes everywhere were having, finding dress codes that fit properly. Well, no more. I've always had issues finding dress codes that fit me the way I want them to. Well, let me tell you, all my clothes from State and Liberty fit me perfectly. By providing more room in the upper body with an extremely tailored waist, their dress shirts cater to those with a V-shaped body type. Darts in the back of the dress shirt pull on the excess fabric, creating a fit that rewards those men that take care of their bodies. I better start working out more. These shirts are also wrinkle-free, machine washable, and dry in about 20 minutes. The days of weekly trips to the dry cleaners are over. Muzz started his new job recently, and the first place he went for dress codes, you guessed it, State and Liberty. So stop wearing dress codes that don't fit. Head over to stateandliberty.com and use the promo code POSTGAMESHAKE to get 10% off your first and second order. That's stateandliberty.com. Promo code POSTGAMESHAKE. Get your wardrobe where it needs to be.
That was our interview with South Carolina Stingrays assistant captain Tim Harrison. We were pumped to have him on, and I know that we had a great time interviewing him. Hope that you guys enjoyed the interview as much as we did. He's a great kid, well-spoken, obviously, and still chasing the dream in the ECHL. So, you know, we're pumped for him, and I know he's a leader in that clubhouse and, you know, locker room, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, we'll see how he does. Hopefully he's got a couple more years left in him, and you know, he can make it up, move up the ladder a little bit. So
absolutely. Yeah. It was a good one. I was thinking this too. Everyone that we've had on has been very well spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm not the most well spoken person in the world, but like, I was wondering, like, if I were just going on a random podcast, like, I would probably talk so fast and people would be like, dude, you gotta slow down, you gotta tone it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even just doing this, like, me and you, I've noticed a lot, like, from the beginning especially, I was like, wow, I need to slow down, I need to, like, stop talking over you at times, which it's not easy. And
no.
Especially because both of us have something to say, and, you know, we start, you know, both of us chime in. But No, it's great, dude. Him and Rooney and Brownie and, you know, Joe, all those guys, Joey, every single
everybody.
One.
Yeah.
Connor. I mean, dude, all those guys have been so well-spoken. Dave's hilarious. Like, we've been really lucky, and hopefully the trend continues, because I think next week we're going to have do we want to say who we're going to have on next week, or do we want to
– I think we should make it a surprise.
Yeah, we'll make it a surprise. So I think he's probably going to be the most well-spoken, but
– That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
But no, it's been great, dude. I mean, it's been awesome.
So, all right. So, I mean, a couple of news and notes here, and then we're gonna depart from your earbuds. But first up, Kyler Murray just announced today that he is officially going all in on football. I know we kind of brought it up before, so there isn't a whole lot to really discuss here, but. You know, what do you think? Do you think it's a good move? Are you excited to see him play football? I guess, you know, just quickly, quick reactions.
Yeah, I think so. When he decided, but he had already said he declared for the draft. So I don't think it was anything like crazy that people weren't expecting.
Yeah.
But I think we had kind of come to that conclusion on the podcast. Like, if your heart's in football, play football. I mean, the whole concussion thing, I get it. But at the same time, the NFL is kind of trending towards a safer. You saw this year with the quarterback protection. It's a different league for quarterbacks now, especially, and it's only going to keep going. It's only going to get a little bit safer and safer, but football's not going anywhere unless they really screw up and they really mishandle things. But I'm happy for him. I think it's going to be really exciting to watch him. He's 5'9", right? 5'9", quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument about it's, you know, it's CTE and stuff. He's playing quarterback. I feel like that's almost a moot point. If he was like a running back, it'd be, I think, a lot different. Or I don't even know. Every position in football is just hard to compare. So him being a quarterback, and he's probably going to go first round, he's going to make a good paycheck right off the bat. I think, like you said, you got to do with, you know, you got to play what you love. And if he loves football, he's going to put in the time and the effort to become the best he can. So I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm pumped for him. It's going to be – And I'm just very interested to see how it works out with his height. I think if, you know, he's a great athlete, I think it'll work out. But we'll see. Representing for the under 6 feet guys of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other I guess, big news was that probably way more bigger than Kyler Murray was the Browns announcing that they had signed Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, that is definitely way more bigger. I agree.
Way more bigger. Thank you. Again, I'm really well spoken, so yeah. I'm not surprised that I said that.
No, I'm far from perfect. I would say the Kareem Hunt thing to me was shocking that he's already signed. I thought at the very least it would be he's out for the year, suspended for the year. But obviously the Browns made it a point to get him before the decision came out. So that way he's now like a part of their roster and suspended with them instead of from the NFL. I don't really know how the whole thing works. It doesn't look great for the Browns, but if you're the Browns, I get it. Honestly, it's a business decision.
I mean, yeah, we also touched on this too when it first came out that, you know, do you think someone's going to sign him again and for second chances and all this stuff? And I think I didn't think the Browns needed him. I thought they had pretty well figured out at running back. They kind of you know, come on offensively at the end of the year, but. I mean, hey, Kareem Hunt is a legit talent in the backfield. So, I mean, any team that has him, you know, is going to be lucky to have him back there. So, if it makes them better as a team, and that's kind of the weird thing, is it's a business decision, like you just said, and football kind of sometimes has a bigger voice than other you know, aspects of life, and this is kind of one of those times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. It's a business in the spotlight of the general public, and people are going to hate on it and all that stuff. But I think most Browns fans, regardless of how they feel about the incident, are behind closed doors kind of like pumping their fists, like, you know, our team's getting better. And like you said, the whole, like, Nick Chubb being there, dude, Nick Chubb's a stud. And I read something today even that the guy was like, I think that Nick Chubb is going to be, you know, in a much better, obviously, if training camp, and, you know, he's going to actually be there for the start of the season. But I think Kareem Hunt's going to kind of have an upward battle to even split with a guy like Chubb. But if those guys are both going, that's going to be a sweet 1-2 punch to watch.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best, some no, of the best running,
no pun intended.
No pun intended. Yeah. they're really going to kick the other team's butt. But, I don't think it's a bad move necessarily, because I like when teams have kind of a two-headed or three-headed monster. They can give guys, you know, blows, and it's been shown that, you know, the NFL is a long season, and getting some rest here and there can really help, you know, especially elongate your career, but, you know, just your season, having more energy when it goes in the playoff time, especially if you don't get a, you know, first round bye. I think having you know, another guy there to kind of share the load, if you can put, you know, your ego behind you. So I guess it's, you know, remains to be seen how it's going to work. But yeah, if you're a Browns fan, like you said, I think you're secretly, you know, fist pumping and kind of like happy that, you know, your team's, you know, making moves to become better.
Have to say though, business decision aside, I don't think it's morally the right thing to do. We've talked about it, obviously, when it first happened. I mean, at some point you have to hold these guys to a higher standard. And what he did, I think that, you know, the kick isn't like, he didn't like, you know, I don't know, it wasn't like a WWF like kick. It was kind of harmless, but the push and the shoving and like, I don't know if he was trying to hit her, like that stuff's not okay. None of that exchange is okay. And I think at the very least, he's going to be suspended for this whole season. And if he's not, then that's a problem. People deserve second chances, but I don't know. I'm not too happy with the idea of him getting that opportunity. But at the end of the day, like we said, it's a business, so I get it.
I mean, that remains to be seen too. This could be a no new signing because he could just not play next year, right? So
right.
I mean, it's especially a moot point only because the NFL season just ended. But to piggyback that, because, you know, he might not play next year, so it really remains to be seen how it all is going to play out, and even if he's going to be on the field for them next year. So it's going to be a long off season to see if that pays off for him.
Yep.
So,
and I think the NFL knows it's kind of handled things the wrong way. So it's time that they start making a kind of a statement with certain guys. And you can see even with, like, you know, Josh Gordon, I think they might give him a chance to come back. And I think that with Kareem Hunt, they're probably going to handle it a lot more strictly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the year, but yeah, here we are.
So the last thing that I want to cover is, did you get to watch any of the AAF, the new football league this weekend?
I watched more in highlights than I watched in the actual game. And when I say the actual, I probably watched 30 seconds of the actual game, and I was like, yeah, no thanks. But yeah, the highlights are crazy, dude. They were like actually killing each other on the field, and
I know. And I did the exact same thing. I watched 0 seconds of live football, but watched a lot of, you know, just the Instagram, you know, little highlights here and highlights there. And I think it's cool. I think people are making the argument that football is great because it's, you know, scarcity, and it's only on 4 months out of the year roughly, and there's only one league. And I mean, I feel like there's a market there. It tied the rating last night, tied the rating for the best basketball game yesterday. So I mean, people love football. I feel like they're gonna watch it. And I feel like in a perfect world, there's a minor league system for the NFL. Like, why can't there be a minor league system just like every other sport? So I feel like
there should be.
Whether it's gonna work for this league or not, a lot of other leagues have tried to make it work and it have, you know, fizzled out for numerous reasons. But I think if all goes well, I hope that there is a minor league system for football. I think it's, you know, only gonna be better for everybody involved.
Yep, I agree, 100%. It is weird actually when you think about it. Like baseball, hockey, basketball is the G League. Obviously, baseball and hockey, the minor league system's a lot deeper, but football is nothing. I mean, it's like you have the practice squad. That's like your AHL of football. And, you know, or you could even compare colleges closer to like a minor league system, which is even more reason to pay the kids that are paying, you know, bringing in millions and millions of dollars for their school. But
exactly. Yeah.
We'll see how it works out. I don't think it'll go too well. I think it'll be okay. I think the quality of the player just isn't good enough, honestly, but I don't know. Maybe it was just the highlights that looked bad. People were having fun with, but
who knows? And I hope some of these players, like some of these quarterbacks that haven't really gotten a shot to play. I mean, you want these kids to get reps in, right? And try to learn, whether it's a certain team system or just, you know, play a high level of football in college and face actual pro style defenses. I mean, maybe it'll be like a, you know, a Kurt Warner type story where a guy developed in the, you know, in the minor league football system and then end up becoming a Super Bowl champion. You never know. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm not too hopeful either. I'm just, you know,
no doubt, man.
It'll be interesting to see. I don't think I'm going to watch because I think the NFL just drains you for 4 months. You kind of need that 8 month break to kind of, you know, recover and relax and have your Sundays back. But
yeah, just me. And not to repeat, like, I think, you know, we've kind of covered it, but like when it gets to July, you're like, holy, give me football. I need it. Like you're like pumped to watch training camp. And then you're like preseason games. All of a sudden I'm like, let's go to the Patriots preseason game. And I don't think I've ever said once, let's go to a Bruins preseason game. And then it gets to the end of the year and like fantasy football fizzles out. And it's like, you know what? I'm kind of done with, you know, checking the waiver wire, and now we get to watch the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and then, you know, you start over and do it all again.
Yeah, so I think the eight-month break is good, but hey, if this becomes successful, I'm you know, more power to them. But, and I love that they're trying, you know, then they're trying to do different things and have the coaches mic'd up on the sideline like Steve Spurrier was. So, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see how it plays out, and, you know, in a couple months, maybe we'll have our answer, or maybe in a couple years, who knows?
Yeah, no, I know. So, yeah, it was cool to watch. We'll see what happens.
We sure will. So, anything else to cover?
Now let's get out of here. I got to go eat dinner.
Yeah, Sam, I actually got to go make dinner. Lucky you have dinner made for you.
I know. One of the advantages of living at home still.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, anyway, thanks for tuning in. Subscribe. Leave us a rating. Leave us a five stars. Leave us a review. Unsubscribe. Subscribe again. Leave us another review. Leave us another rating. I mean, do whatever you want. But, again, thanks for listening. And as always, we have fun with these, and hopefully you guys have fun listening.
Yep, what Tim said, and if you want a hat, let us know. We got a couple left, and we're going to order some more.
Absolutely.
All right. We're out of here. Peace.
See ya.